Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Now's the time in the program where we go through the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Draymond Green is not going to be suspended for the season. He is going to be fined. He will rejoin the team tomorrow. Steve Kerr had several meetings with Jordan Poole, with Steph Curry and everything. Jordan Poole said he's willing to move forward and willing to get back out on the floor with Draymond and go to work. Kerr said, "This is the biggest crisis that I've had since I've been coach here. It's really serious stuff. We're not perfect, but we're going to lean on the experience that we have together and trust that this is the best decision for our team." Good move or bad move? Should Draymond be suspended?
I think in an optics standpoint, it's not a great move. It's a storyline that's going to follow the Warriors throughout their season. It's going to follow Draymond. It's going to what's the chemistry like? What's the locker room atmosphere like? How do these players work past this? Who steps up as a leader? A lot of questions.
Does Draymond change his style because of this? Like, I mean, dude, if you saw the video, he punched him hard. I mean, just a cheap shot. Terrible.
I mean, Draymond is a very physical player. He gets, a lot of penalties, a lot of football on the mind, technicals.
Something, yeah. I mean, he does. That's the thing. Is this going to be, let's say Golden State has a moment of struggle throughout the season. Does that start to blow up? Can Jordan Poole, I mean, good on Jordan Poole to say, hey, I'm willing to get past it and all that. And I think Jordan Poole's going about it the right way, but do you need more time? I mean, Draymond said he needed to reflect on himself, and I mean, I can't imagine that's been fixed in 4 days. So, kind of an interesting thing here. I don't know. Maybe they're big enough where they can work together and get through it. But you are going to be leaning on. This is going to be a test for Steve Kerr. This is going to be a test for Steph Curry, the leaders of this team, to make sure that this doesn't get any worse. We'll see if there's resentment that Jordan Poole holds toward Draymond Green throughout the course of the season. How about this one? There's a passport issue for the Giants punter. Is it Jamie Gillian? Is that right? Or is that the name?
Gillian or something.
He's still in London. They played on what, Sunday morning? He's still in London. He's expected to be back in New Jersey sometime today or tonight. But Brian Daboll said, hey, I'm guessing we don't have an exact time. He did not travel back with the team from London because of a passport issue. How
did you get to London?
How did you get there? I mean, this is the problem with London. You got to have passport issues. how did you get there in the first place? And then how is the team not taking care of all of that for these guys? Making sure. What's the issue? I can't imagine. I have no idea on this side of it. He's a native of Scotland. So
that explains a lot.
What's going on here? Do we have a Braveheart situation going on? I don't know. I thought that story was bizarre. Like, how did you get there? And how does the team just like, see ya? Like, we're not going to make sure you're taken care of on this side of it? Wow. Raiders Josh McDaniel supports Devontae Adams after the incident, which he's being charged now. Is that right?
Being charged with a misdemeanor for the Kansas City Police Department.
I'm so weird on this story. Like, you can't just go around pushing people to the ground.
It's an unfortunate circumstance. That cameraman, pay attention. Devontae, pay attention. Look where you're going when you walk. I get you lost the game. Pick your head up.
Yeah.
Good piece of advice. Just put chin up.
Don't cross.
Eyes forward. Don't push people.
Don't cross. They need like a stop sign or a yield or a green light, red light type of deal there. Because it did look like he was just trying to get across the tunnel. But Adams, like, sees
he might have just been going over to a spot to just get set up to take pictures.
I don't know. But Josh McDaniel said he's got his back. He supports him. I support Devontae wholeheartedly as a human being. As a person, he's a great guy. I know that was an unfortunate situation. We obviously don't want any of our guys to be doing anything like that. He knows that. He's very well aware of that. But I know the person. I don't think there was any intent behind it on his part. I don't either.
No,
listen,
this isn't Devontae's a bad guy. It's just it happened and charges were pressed.
Have you seen the Taco Bell commercial that he did, Devontae Adams?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's hilarious.
I've never seen that. I didn't know he had that kind of personality.
No, I didn't either.
Green Bay, he was Quiet,
but I love that ad. That's all I need to know about him as a person is the Taco Bell ad.
He likes crunch wraps.
Well, that ad's pretty good, too.
It is. He like turns the clock off right at 11.
And he's like, sorry, if I've been there. It's in his apartment. Taco Bell moved into his apartment. That was his one ask. If he had to do a Taco Bell commercial, he wanted to have one in his apartment. And then he asks for breakfast. The guy's like, dude, if I start making exceptions for you, I have to make exceptions for everybody else. I'll check. And he turns around and starts asking. He's like, there's more people back there? I look at this kind of like I look at the Carl Durrell thing last year when he kind of shoved the cameraman. It's unfortunate. You can't go around doing that. There should be some kind of like, you know, I don't know if a fine's probably.
Probably a fine.
Probably a fine.
I can't see a suspension.
No suspensions. I also don't really fault the dude. I don't like pressing charges unless it's serious stuff. And if I got pushed to the ground, like if I'm walking out in the hall right there and, you know, and I'm in Micah's way and Big Bad Micah comes out of nowhere and just pushes me to the ground, you know, I'm going to react in a way like, what just happened here? Why are we? I'm not going to go press charges. Now, I know Micah also, but I just look at that situation and I'm like, did that need to be something where the police are investigating this? We saw what happened. It's not good. It's bad. But you can't get past. Now, I wish Devontae would have apologized, and maybe he has. But I didn't. I wasn't nuts about in the post game at his locker room. He starts apologizing to the guy. Like, that's talk about a disingenuous apology. The guy's not there. He's not right in front of you.
Well, it's not like he had a mic in the tunnel.
It's true.
They quickly say, "Oh, real quick, I'm sorry."
Yeah,
but you know,
find the guy. Hey, can I get that guy's information if he'll accept it? I would like to formally apologize to the dude. Maybe he's trying to. The investigation was expected to take about a day or two. The victim is a photographer at the Chiefs-Raiders game. At the end of the game, he was pushed to the ground. This is what their police report said, causing injury. He made arrangements for private transport to the hospital for treatment, at which time he called the police. The injuries are preliminary, though, thought to be non-life-threatening. I mean, the incident will be investigated by their assault unit detectives. You know, we need our crime unit on this, Angel. We got to get this investigated here. Upon completion, they will coordinate with the current with the city or state prosecutor to determine applicable charges. What happened here?
Sounds like your typical case of a bruised ego.
Bruised ego. Fell down. Guy pushed me. Everybody was watching it. It was embarrassing. And my stuff fell on me, kind of. I think I might have broken a lens. And I'm probably going to get in trouble with work because I broke the lens.
I think reparations can be made for replaced equipment. But your ego and your personality might take a hit.
Might take a hit. We got the detectives on this, though.
Our best folks on it.
We got our best guys on the job. Our best minds on the job. Our investigation that went through 30 days of Tom Brady's Deflategate. We'll get them on this one, too.
They're still working on that.
The funny thing about that is it took 9,000 days to investigate that. And here's what they said. You know, he did not do it, right? I mean, that was like the report. Tom Brady probably took some air out of the football or had somebody do it. Oh, he didn't do it for sure? There's no way of knowing that.
I mean, Andrew Luck said he kind of did. But
yeah, Luck said it.
They're
you know,
not using the same ball anyway, so.
We saw a guy go into the bathroom with a bunch of footballs, which could have just been going to the bathroom. What's he supposed to do with all those footballs? Leave them out there?
They got to carry in those big bags? Like,
yeah, he probably just brought them into the bathroom.
Oh, I can't have anyone steal these. These are part of the. I need these for the game.
I need these. They'll be stolen.
That's his job. You were the protector of the footballs.
And maybe by taking them into the bathroom, air went out of the football somehow because of different temperatures in there or something.
There's chemicals in the bathroom,
no
cleaning
question.
Stuff, all kinds of things.
I just think it's funny with these investigations. Like the Ray Rice thing. Ray Lewis. They're still trying to figure that one out. That one's a tough one. But Ray Rice, like, our investigation shows that a woman is on the floor unconscious. Ray probably did that, but we'll give him 2 games. And then they see the full video. Oh, he did, in fact, do that. That's bad. But wait, you thought you knew he did it.
Evidence is evidence in the court of law.
I love when the NFL investigates stuff. Like, I just love it. I think it's great.
They'll investigate themselves and find out, oh, we're the bad guys here.
Yeah. Can I say something? Our whole debate yesterday about is analytics ruining the game? It's not. You know why? Because we're talking about it.
Yep.
And the NFL wins again. Dude, the NFL wins no matter what they do. They are so big that there is no taking them down. This is like Game of Thrones, King's Landing in its heyday, right? They are untouchable. And we can talk about, oh, this is ridiculous. The quarterbacks and the offense, the way this is going, it's terrible. These coaches are overthinking. We have had so much to talk about. This has been the wackiest NFL season I remember. And the NFL is winning again, which is fine. Why wouldn't it? I want it to win because I enjoy watching. Dixon's going back to our poll question. I said, so is John Elway not as bad? He said, nice try, Brady. But the current issues in no way mean that Elway didn't royally poop the bed when he was calling the shots. Still giving him a hall pass, I see. You can't help yourself. Leave John alone! Let him do his job in peace, Dixon. He has big responsibilities. Pepsi or Coke at Empower Field. He has to make those decisions. You just let him work. He's on that little scooter thingy, running around, losing the schedule. You saw that video. John lost the schedule. That's how we were able to see who the Broncos were playing.
It wasn't scripted either.
No, that was not scripted. That was, and he said, let's ride. Do you have a problem with Russell Wilson saying, let's ride at the end of that, at the end of his last press conference, the one right after the game? He like walks away and goes, Broncos country, let's ride.
It kind of feels like it's a catchphrase that he kind of just has to say. I don't know if that's in his Mr. Unlimited contract or something.
I think it is.
Maybe that's just his alter ego coming out a little bit. He can only say Broncos country, let's ride. Everything else is the other Russell.
I bet he has to say it. Like, and then people are giving him crap about his Twitter. He quoted a Winston Churchill thing that said, if you're in hell, keep going. I don't have a problem with that.
He's trying to sell hats on Twitter. Someone got upset about that.
I don't have a problem. I guess I'm just not nitpicking with that. It doesn't bug me. Let's ride doesn't bug me in a loss. He always said, go Hawks at the end of every Seattle press conference. He always says, go Hawks. I just don't have an issue with it. I don't know why. I don't know. I feel like I'm the only one.
I mean, maybe Russell's just a robot, and that's just a glitch he has that he just has to say it. If he's in front of a microphone or a camera, it's going to come out.
He's building his image. He's building on his image. Him saying, let's ride, is an indication of his inability to read the room, because all he's worried about is his I'm cooler than you image. I don't think he thinks he's cooler than anybody.
Russell's not cooler than a lot of people.
I don't think so, dude.
He's
no
a guy
way.
That thinks he's cool.
Yes.
Everyone's just like, yeah, it's Russell. We're all looking at him like Melvin Gordon did.
I don't feel... Yeah, and that picture was so nerdy looking, too. He just, again, he reminded me of the nerdy kid that got his homework done before everybody. Like, he just went and turned in his homework day of, and you had 30 days to do it, and he just turned it in early. And the teacher's like, good job, Russ. Go have a seat. Here's a juice box. And he's drinking it. And Melvin's looking at him like, you son of a. Like that. No, I think that's just who he is. He built that. He started the let's ride thing. And he's going to stay with it. I'll give him that. He's staying with it. Like, he's pushing that brand. You know, it's kind of like Dixon's hate of John Elway. John Elway could take Dixon to a nice steak dinner, give him $1 million, and, you know, hook him up at the Den, and then next thing you know, Dixon would still say, nope, Elway, he's a terrible person, because he's going to stick with the narrative of he hates John Elway.
Well, that steak dinner would probably be at Elway's.
Yes.
So it's kind of a free steak.
Yeah, it's free steak. That's true.
It's not costing
that's
John
exactly
anything.
What Dixon would say. Well, this isn't costing you anything. You know, it's not like you're doing me any favors, John. 19 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who do you blame the most at this point? Nathaniel Hackett or Russell Wilson? And I'm sorry, but do we have a tight end that plays for the Broncos? Do we not have one on the depth chart? Because I haven't seen one. Saubert, kind of. Alberto, where is he? Is Greg Dulcich a real person? I saw a video, a picture of him when they drafted him. He's a real guy, right? He's just hurt. He's like got the worst hamstring in the world. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears play in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Near broke texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. As usual, Dixon has it bass-ackwards concerning the Broncos. While Wilson is not performing, the losses can all come back to poor play calling by Hackett. Clock management issues, 64-yard field goal try after signing an all-pro quarterback that can scramble, first and goal, and three plays from shotgun. All Hackett losses. I agree with that. I'm with you, Nearbroke. Have you looked at once at Russell Wilson? And some of his throws have been bad, but if you just looked at him and went, he is not a professional quarterback. Have you looked? I haven't done that. I've looked at bad throws. He's made bad throws, but I've never once looked at him this season and said, he shouldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I wouldn't go to that extent. I think, you know, he's proven that he can do it at this level. It's not easy to play at this level. So, you know, your expectations of what he should be doing are different than what he's actually doing. But when I watched the Colts game, it was kind of like, man, like, how is he not making these throws?
True.
Like, why is he missing?
There's
why is
been
he
those.
Guys?
There's been those for sure. But I haven't looked at him and said he should not be a starter. Nathaniel Hackett, based on his decisions, I've looked at it and said, should he not be a head coach in the NFL?
No, there are definitely moments where he is in way over his head.
Which is why I think it's Nathaniel Hackett to blame the most right now. Which really sucks, Angel, because I really want Nathaniel Hackett to work. I wasn't a big... Like, Vic Fangio was fine. Vance Joseph was fine. Even Gary Kubiak, the legend and stuff, like him being a Broncos guy, I get that. That was fine. But Hackett is a great guy. I mean, an amazing guy. And he's humble. He's not short with the media at all. And he should be. He could very well be. But he's not. I am really rooting for... I'm rooting for this coach more so than I've rooted for any coach for the Denver Broncos. Shanahan was just good. He didn't need me rooting for him. He was just that good. But I'm... Like, John Fox was fine. All these guys were fine. But Hackett's a guy... Like, I would love to see him be a career Bronco. Just have a 10, 15-year career, which I know that doesn't really happen, but like a Shanahan-type career. I would love that. With Vic, I was like, dude, this isn't going to be much more than 5 years, tops. Vance Joseph, you kind of knew early on, this isn't going to last very long. You know, and even with John Fox, yeah, rah, 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 rah. It's kind of how he talked. Rah, rah, rah. I don't know. My impression.
Even John Fox, that was kind of Peyton's team at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't like... It wasn't a big, like, he wasn't changing. I will say what he was able to do in the Tebow year was pretty incredible. Go from Orton to Tebow. NFL referee. Is that the name of this texter? NFL referee? Somebody named him that. Hackett and Wilson have been terrible, but we referees have been amazing this year. Well, that's because your name is NFL referee.
How did you get this number?
We should put the NFL and detectives on this. Get them on the case. Oh, the refs have been awful, but in fairness, they're told, hey, you got to watch this, but don't do it too much. But if he lands on him, then it's a penalty. But if he throws him to the ground, then it may be a penalty. It might not be a penalty. You're giving the right. It's kind of like Hackett to Wilson. You're giving them too much stuff. You need to, for lack of a better term, dumb it down a little bit. These referees, how do you officiate an NFL football game anymore?
Right, well, the rules aren't consistent, the calling's not consistent, and the in-game adjustments, because you know refs are doing, they do make up calls. It happens in every game.
Oh, they make...
They have one bad call, yeah. And the crowd reacts, and it's like, oh, we need to get quick holding or something.
They had some makeup calls in that Raiders-Chiefs game. Big
you could
time.
See on the ref's face, he was, like, nervous to make the call.
You know what the thing I hate the most with a ref is when they make a call, and then we have to talk about it. You have to come together, and they have to have this, like, four-minute discussion. You threw the flag. You know who it is. Make the call.
Right. And, you know, they got to confer with everyone else. Like, hey, I saw this. Did you see that with the line judge or the umpire or whoever? but they have little radios and mics that they can talk to each other. They don't have to meet at the center of the field to figure it out. And then one guy with his note cards taking notes. You got to talk to the clock guy. Like, just,
yeah. Yeah. Refs. No, it's there. But sometimes I'm like, I feel bad for them. They never win.
Oh, and then they get run over on a play that ends up being a penalty, or they'll slip on the sidelines and pull a hamstring or something. Like,
I hate that I smile a little bit when a referee just gets laid out.
It's part of the field.
I feel bad that I'm laughing, but my wife will go, "Aw," and I'm like, "Bro, it makes me a terrible person." Like, I hope they're okay first, and then once they get up and I watch the replay, I'm like...
Hope it's not your team and the ref doesn't set a pick for their defense. It's like, oh, man, that was awful.
Well, and when they fall, it's typically pretty animated. Because they're usually,
older guys.
Dudes.
Like, when they fall, it's like, 50s and 40s.
I feel bad for them, but it is very... Like, it's cartoony how they fall. Because
they're
old
wearing
dudes.
Those funny-looking uniforms, yes. The hats.
The hats fly off, typically.
They have a colored they have two colored flags.
Those little grenade flags that they throw. And there's their hands go up, and then
they
get
up. Gestures of the court.
I don't know why that's funny, but it is. From the 970, if Wilson converts, the play calls aren't bad. If they called runs and got stuffed, the narrative becomes, how do you take the ball out of Russ's hands? Ironically, it's a no-win situation unless they win. Ha-ha. Russell's having an oddly hard time picking up the offense, but at the same time, it took Aaron Rodgers a little bit, too. It'll come around. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I don't want to be in a head coaching hiring situation at the end of the year. I don't at all. I think Nathaniel Hackett has it, but I've got to see it in a complete body of work. And I haven't seen it yet. Like, if this is how it goes all season, 2-3, you know, you win a game or two, then you lose two more, then you lose four, and then you're like 4 or 5 wins. Do I think that they should move on from Hackett? Yes, they should, because the expectations changed. And that sucks, because I like Hackett. I want to root for this guy. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Mark Johnson. Can Mike Sanford earn the full-time gig as the Buffs head coach? We'll talk to Mark next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
It's amazing that we can get Mark to do that every single day, that rejoin. Just calls in, pops in a quick rejoin right on time. That's what you get when you're dealing with the best. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, how are you?
Well, you know what? When it comes up in the rotation where I intro the segment where I'm going to come on, I'm driving. I'm turning around, going back and buying a lottery ticket.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. It's like we're in a different dimension at some point. It's like, how did this happen? Mark, how are things now with this Buffs team? Obviously, we've had a while to sit and chew on this with Carl Durrell gone. Now we're going to see what Mike Sanford has. It seems like he's bringing a ton of energy to this program.
Well, he really is. And, you know, I was talking with a couple of players yesterday. When it happens like this unfolded for the Buffaloes, Brady, you can feel it coming. You almost kind of expect it. The pressure continues to build and build and build. When they do make a change, it's almost like somebody let the air out of the balloon. There's a sigh of relief for everybody involved. And teams a lot of times respond. I mean, somebody told me yesterday that interim coaches went 4-0 last weekend, and wow. I think they've gone 6-3 since the firings first started here this season in college football. And so it's not uncommon for there to be, you know, a little relief. Everyone starts having a good time. The pressure's kind of off, and you just go out and play some football. You know, I think back to my time, there have been, I think in my 19 seasons now, this is the fourth time we've had an interim coach, and not everyone has won their first game. But I want to say, two of the three previous times, the coaches have won. Brian Cabral did it one time. Mike Hankwitz did it one time. Kurt Roper did it one time, as I recall, over the years. And so it does happen. But when you watch Mike Sanford, and this anybody that's been around this program knows what Mike Sanford's all about. He's a high-energy guy. He's a positive guy. That's the way he conducts himself. You know, when he was the offensive coordinator prior to Carl's dismissal, I mean, that's the way he was. So he's bringing a lot of fun to these guys. Now, can he turn it around? well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they've got a heck of a schedule coming up. I mean, you know, Cal this weekend, you know, that's a ball game that maybe you looked at and thought, well, maybe they win that one. But, you know, once you get into November, it gets pretty serious for the Buffalo. So we'll see what happens. But right now, it's got kind of a feel good about it.
Yeah, and that's the tough part for Stanford because, you know, I think I was talking about this last week, Mark. Like, what are the realistic chances that he could earn the job? And unfortunately, you look at the schedule, and there's really nothing easy there. And you're going to get the – in fact, you're getting the worst part of the schedule. So it's kind of an unfair shake for him. So in your mind, is it realistic that Stanford could do an – I mean, again, yeah, you go win out, you're probably going to be the guy. But is it realistic that he can get a realistic shot to coach this team next season?
Well, what do we say in sports all the time? All you want is an opportunity, right? Mike Sanford's got an opportunity. I mean, he's been given the keys to the vehicle, and he's going to drive it now for the last 7 weeks of the season. So he's given an opportunity. Is it a very difficult opportunity? Sure, it's a difficult opportunity. But, you know, let's say he goes out. What if they go 4-3, you know? And what if they go 5-2? I mean, then you really got a serious candidate in your hands. If they go 5-3, if they go 3-4, and they're competitive in every single game this season. I think if you're Rick George, you've got to look at that guy and go, well, boy, he's certainly done something here. He's energized things. And the thing about it, I used to tell my interns this all the time, that, you know, when they came around to the internship being over and they had an opportunity now to interview for a job, they'd always say, you know, they always, well, I'm kind of nervous about the interview. Well, don't be. You've already interviewed for it, right? Mm. The last 6 months you've been here as an intern, you interviewed for this job. Mike's got a chance to do that right now. And so, you know, I like him a great deal. I wish him the best. You know, heck, if he can go 5-2 or something, heck, you know, more power to him. And then he's going to make things real tough on Rick George making a decision. So, you know, you never know. I mean, he's going to have an opportunity. And again, that's all we ask for in life.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. What is the process like? Obviously, Mike Sanford, you're going to just let that play out, see what he does. But on the back end with Rick George and company, what is that process like now? Have they hired some kind of external group that's going to start interviewing? What is that situation like right now, Mark?
Well, the number one thing I'll tell you this, being around Rick for a number of years now that I know about him, he's going to keep it very close to the vest. If you've noticed, every time he's done this, there have not been a lot of leaks out there. Now, every once in a while, you know, for example, when he had a conversation with Steve Sarkisian last time he hired a coach, you know, that got out and it came through the national media. And so what happens there then is generally there will be an agent for said coach that will leak something, you know, to a Pat Forty or – you know, Brent McMurphy or somebody like that on the national scene, they'll get that kind of thing. But internally, it's going to get very, very quiet, and I fully expect that. I do know that Rick has got some people that he trusts very much and greatly that he has got kind of helping him and advising him and giving him opinions on things and analyzing things for him, people that he really trusts inside the coaching world. And so I know he's got, you know, people in his ear, and this thing's going to get very quiet right now. But I guarantee you, knowing Rick, listen, the first time he hired a coach in Colorado, it was Mel Tucker. He did a very thorough job. Now, you can debate that. Mel, you know, is the one that took off. He didn't fail at Colorado. He jumped ship after 9 months, so that was disappointing. The second time with Carl Durrell, it came at a very odd time, and he had to rush the circumstance and you know, kind of go, you know, 100 miles an hour trying to figure out who he's going to get very late in the process. That was a very difficult situation. This time, he's got a running start at this thing. He's going to have 2 full months of the college football season. I would be stunned if we're not finding out that there's a new coach, you know, right around December 1st, as soon as, you know, the college football regular season ends.
Mark, what names are you hearing? Obviously, you know, we talked about Matt Rhule. I mean, he was sensational in college, couldn't make it work with Carolina. I mean, how realistic is that? There's a lot of names on this list. You know, you're looking around at the usual suspects, I suppose, but now Matt Rhule's name's jumping up there.
Well, I don't know how I threw him out the last time we talked as an example of the type of coach I'd be looking for. My guess is when you look at some of the openings out there, I don't think the Wisconsin job is open. What I mean by that, they fired Paul Christ, right? I think Coach Leonard is the guy that's going to get that, the guy they made the interim. I think that was done in order to keep him. So I don't think the Wisconsin job truly is open right now. I think they've already got that thing filled. It's just a formality at this point. Some of the other jobs you look at out there, I think Matt Rhule is going to have some options in a college game. I think he's a very good college coach. And so I don't think Colorado's going to be on his radar per se. You know, I still think of Gary Patterson's kind of interesting. I think of Bronco Mendenhall is supremely interesting. There's a guy, and this is no inside information. This is just me kind of reading the room, okay? There's a guy who's from the West. He was at BYU, went to Virginia. He just bought a ranch the last year and a half up in Montana. He has got a podcast out, which I've had a chance to listen to some. He has talked about how he's ready to get back in. He needed a kind of a catch-your-breath moment, which he did after he resigned after last season from Virginia. He talks greatly in his podcast about, you know, having to deal with high academic, you know, situation at Virginia. So he's accustomed to that kind of thing that he deal with at Colorado. I think he's a really interesting guy. He's a Western guy, Western part of the country. That's a name that intrigues me greatly. Now, there are going to be some names out there. People have been throwing around, you know, Ryan Walters, who's the defensive coordinator at Illinois. And I'm a big fan of Ryan. I think he's an outstanding coach. I think he's an incredibly smart young man, but he's 36 years old. I still think this job needs somebody, as I like to say, it's got a little sand in their pants, right? They've been around the block a time or two. I still think that you need somebody that's been around, seen it, done it, dealt with the head coaching things, which Ryan has not at this point in time. I still think he's going to be a great coach. I'm just not sure this is the right fit for him right now. So that one's kind of interesting. There's a coach, I think it's pronounced Rainey, who is actually from the Springs area, if I'm not mistaken. No, I beg your pardon. He's from Morrison with the Bear Creek High School, who's at Old Dominion right now, who has spent a lot of time with Vanderbilt and Penn State, and now is the head coach at Old Dominion. He's doing a nice job there. That's another name that's kind of intriguing to me because he's got some head coaching experience. So, I mean, you know, at this point, we're just throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks. As I said, Rick's going to be awful quiet, and we're not going to hear a lot of names throughout this whole process. But, you know, there's at least three guys that are intriguing for a number of reasons.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And Mark, I know you and I are both huge fans of Tad Boyle. Last week, I was kind of putting this into perspective. I was like, think about how rough the football situation has been. But on the other side, look at the consistency that you have in Tad Boyle. And every single year, regardless of stud players moving on or what have you, every single year, whether they achieve this or not, every year we expect them to be dancing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's what you want in a football coach right there. That's what you want in a Colorado football coach, is that kind of solid foundation that every year you know that program is going to go out game in and game out and be incredibly competitive, be in the middle of the conversation in the Pac-12, you know, be in postseason activity. Ted called me the other night and I'm like, hey, why don't you just go ahead and take the football coaching job? What do you think about that? I said, no, it's not that you've got to know everything about the game, but, you know, you organize a staff, you know how to do it. It's like, not eight. He goes, I got a headache with 15 guys on the roster. I don't need 100 guys on the roster. And I said, it would be a pay raise. You'd get more money, but I don't think he's going to do that. But, no, that's the kind of guy, Brady, you need right there. He's solid. He is. He's real. He's genuine. He's a high-character guy. He wins consistently. I mean, that's what you're looking for in the football side, and let's hope that Rick George can find him.
Yeah, no question. And again, what are you expecting of this basketball team? I know we don't have a lot of time left, and we'll start breaking into this more and more, but
sure.
What are your thoughts, you know, just kind of throwing out there as far as what you see in this basketball team this season?
I like this team. The guys they brought in the transfer portal, I think, are really intriguing. They're older guys, right? You got one junior college player. You got two guys coming in that were upperclassmen, graduate transfers from the Ivy League, and so they've got some older leadership, even though they're new guys. They're not nearly as big as they have been, but they're much more athletic and, I think, quicker basketball team. I think K.J. Simpson is turning into a star. I think he's got a real chance. I think Lawson Lovering, the 7-footer from Cheyenne, Wyoming, is really going to show us something. He's really growing into himself now. He's those big guys that always takes a year or two, and now going into his sophomore year, I think he's got a real I think Tristan DeSilva's a star. I mean, that guy right there, there's the anchor on your team, and he always kind of deferred, if you will, to Jabari Walker. Jabari's now in the NBA, and so Tristan's team now. And Tad has talked to him about that. And so I think you'll see more productivity out of Tristan DeSilva. And so I'm kind of excited about this basketball team. We'll get our first look, by the way. We're going to do a television streaming broadcast on October 30th. They've got Nebraska coming in for an exhibition game. It's a charity exhibition game for the Marshall Fire. And we'll be doing that ball game on the 30th. So not that long. We got our first look at
them. Well, I'm excited to see it. I love football. Love what we've got talking about everything here. But basketball is right around the corner, and I think we're going to have a lot of great basketball to talk about with the Buffs and Nuggets. Everybody that's playing hoops in this state of Colorado. Mark, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll see how this weekend goes for Mr. Sanford and this Buffs team.
Boy, let's hope there's some positive there, man. And this is totally selfish on my part, but as a play-by-play guy, I could use some positive.
I'm with you, man. No, I feel for you for sure. It's been a rough go, but we'll be looking forward to the call, Mark.
All right. Take care.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, that would... You know, you feel for those broadcasts. Like Jerry Schimmel. Love Jerry Schimmel. That's a long season to broadcast bad baseball. But you get into this job because you just love it, right? You just love the sport. Like, I love the sport. I love sports. I mean, the money would always make me love it a little more. But I don't know, man. You would have to really be a baseball guy. Or you just... If football's different, you know. Shorter season. Get done. But can you imagine broadcasting for the Rockies every single day? Yeah, you'd make great money, but a lot of people go, well, I would do it easy. Well, could you do it? Could you constantly be a positive, thorough, put together a positive, thorough broadcast every single day for the Rockies?
It'd be tough, and we've talked to Jerry on Good Morning NOCO, and we asked him about it. You know, how do you keep going like this with this kind of team and this, you know, this organization that doesn't have a lot of success? And he kept saying, you know, it's just the dream. For him, he gets to go out to a ballpark every single day and call a game and just be in that atmosphere every single day.
Well, Jerry especially is the one, you know, like that guy, he ain't taking anything for granted, man. He is one heck of a dude. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. I do have Blake Olson, another amazing guy, the voice of UNC football. He's going to join me at the top of the hour, and then I'll also have head coach Jay Norvell. As we do have some news coming out there with CSU. They're going to go with their third string quarterback. Giles Poole is going to be the... I did do a G-check on that, by the way, Angel. He's going to be the starting quarterback this weekend. Well, we knew Clay was probably going to be out, so we'll talk to Coach about that. We have some news. All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who do you blame more, Nathaniel Hackett or Russell Wilson, for this 2-3 start? Go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see kind of where this thing ends up by the end of the day. Don't forget, I'm going to have Blake Olson, the voice of the Bears football team, on with us a little after the 1 o'clock hour. And then CSU head coach Jay Norvell will join me in our final segment of the day. We'll talk, obviously, about the quarterback change, a little bit about the win. I mean, we got to stay there, man. I mean, it was a big win for Colorado State. And I knew it. You know, the fear of missing out, Angel, I knew it. I knew I was going to pick the Rams to lose, finally. And although I picked them to beat Sacramento State, I picked them to beat Middle Tennessee. And I knew when I finally went against them in a game that it's kind of close, right? Then they would win. So I think I did that, you know, for Rams fans. I think I helped everybody out. I've been having some bad luck in the picks, so I think I helped everybody out there. So you're welcome, Rams fans. So we'll look forward to Jay Norvell coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Crabtree Brewing in Greeley, Chunkin' Pumpkin. I've had this beer. Certainly suggest it. Pick up selections from Crabtree at On the Rocks Liquor. Any of your adult beverage favorites, you know, local breweries, the popular stuff, whatever. It's all there and well organized at On the Rocks Liquor. They're open until 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. They've got a drive-through, and then this Friday they have their free tastings going on from the folks at Classic Distributing. We'll be on hand with some wines to try. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Avalanche going at it tonight. And, you know, just again, the thing that keeps sticking out is, what is this goalie situation going to look like? You know, you decided to move on from Kemper. And I don't think there were a lot of Avs fans that were really sad about that. I think they liked him. He was fine. But here's an opportunity. I mean, can Georgiev, who was a backup last year, can he step up and be... I mean, imagine this team with a stud goalie. That is scary. That's terrifying. And maybe this is the guy. He was a backup with the Rangers. He was supposed to kind of be the guy, but you know, he was outplayed and he was a backup. So we'll see how he does with the Avs. 12:57 the time. Second hour coming up, or third hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.